Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday in Advent and remind you that we're having communion. Everyone is eligible to take communion. If it's a child here, that's up to the parents, but you do not have to be a member of our church or Presbyterian to receive communion. The loose offering will go to the work of the session. So we thank you for that. You can take your red pads and sign them, pass them down. During the Advent candle lighting service will be Mike Lynn, Love, and family. And so we thank them for that. And Mike, you've got a handout sheet. They'll sing, and then there'll come a time Mike will start. Advent is a time, and then you will read the bold print. And so we thank everyone for being prepared for this and for the Love family for being a part. So also, if you'd like to be an Advent reader, there are sign-up sheets in the back. The angel tree is also at the back. There are 20 children this year. So if you take a name, be sure to don't take it without letting a deacon know that you're taking, because there's ways that you return the package back with the name and everything on it, so they make sure the child gets it. Gifts must be returned by December the 21st, and all angels must be picked up by December the 14th. So I hope that you'll grab a name and help a child have a nice Christmas. Cookies, annual Christmas walk is coming up on December the 13th. That's always a good event looked forward to by the community, and it's a good fundraiser for us. You can see Clara or Linda about that. Christian Education Christmas Party will be on December the 21st, a Sunday immediately following worship. There's sign-up sheets for poinsettias, and you can buy as many as you want, then you get to take them home after Christmas Eve. Scripture readers are still needed, and we still need teachers for junior church. You can see B.J. Morrison or Heather Perman for that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 123, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel.
Amen. Beautiful. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for watching over us. We love you for providing the gift of salvation. Forgive us for not preparing for Christ's second coming. Forgive us when we do not help others to be prepared. Help us to draw closer to you each day. Remind us of the truth of the Gospels. Show us how to watch, wait, and work for your kingdom to be realized. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
Advent is a time for the human heart to wait while trusting God's eternal time.
How long, O Lord? How long?
For those waiting for answered prayer,
grant your steadfast patience.
For those waiting in the face of uncertainty,
grant unshakable confidence in your sovereign provision.
For those waiting for justice and mercy to reign,
grant a glimpse of your glory in our wounded world.
For all of us waiting for God's kingdom to come,
grant that we might have the peace of Christ as we wait, the love of Christ as we act, and the grace of Christ as we speak.
This morning, we light the first candle, which reminds us that throughout history, God's people have spent time waiting, wandering, and wondering about the timing of God's eternal plan. Like the people of old, we long for God's presence to illuminate the areas of life where we are called to wait. This morning, we echo the words of the psalmist, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord."
God of all creation, we declare that you are the eternal one. We confess to you, O Lord, that we easily grow impatient when your word to us is to wait. Ignite within us a new and everlasting hope. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Responsive reading 718, a contemporary affirmation of faith. 718, in the back of your hymnals. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, his Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is the guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom He renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us His people to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile man to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the age, to the praise of His glory. Amen.
This time, I would ask the elder on the door to come forth with praise and prayer requests.
Good morning. Our first prayer request is from Patty, Bob, and Amber Hall. They are asking for prayers for her brother-in-law, Bruce Gregory. They ask that we please continue to pray for Bruce and the family. He has pneumonia, and the mass on his liver has gotten enlarged. Also from Patty, Bob, and Amber Hall, for their mom, Janet Hall, please continue to pray for Janet Hall. She is going back on treatment for her cancer. I have a prayer request from Pat Patterson. I believe it's pronounced Ray. It's her great-granddaughter. She's fighting cancer, and she's in a hospital in Florida. And then we have a praise request from Jenny Reinhardt for her daughter, Amy. Amy is now recuperating at home after nearly 2 months of hospitalization. She asks that we praise the Lord.
Thank you. Like that, a praise report. Tina's back in service with us today after her operation. We've been praying for you and glad things are going better. We'll continue to pray for you. Someone gave me a private prayer before the service, so we'll remember that, God knows. And they don't know that I'm going to do this, but Mark and Michelle are here in service today, and they are going to be moving to Florida soon. So we'll be saying goodbye to them. At least we know that they'll be back, and then Mark is going to have an operation on his knee also before he goes. And so we welcome Pat in service today, too, and all the family. And you guys will really be missed. You've been such a part of our church, and you'll be in church again, I'm sure. But I want people to know so they can, both ways, good. Well, you know you're always welcome here. And just a private, a personal moment, I thank you for your prayers for my eye surgery. I believe it was successful. I'm not seeing the horrible drawing that I gave to the doctor. So the operator on the left one is has a lot of edema in it, swelling, but I believe that will go down. I believe my vision will be much, much better. And I go in for the second operation Wednesday. So I really thank you for your prayers. I truly believe that prayers make the difference. Let's go to the Lord with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this first Sunday in Advent, where we have the privileged opportunity to receive communion. We just ask that it touches our lives in a very special way, and that we will feel your presence here today. Thank you for all that you have done for us, leaving us teachings that we can grow in faith, the word and knowledge and wisdom, love, mercy, grace, understanding. And as a community of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley, help us to love one another and grow tight together and to seek your will as done in our private lives and in the life of our church family. Help us to grow as a church in love and understanding and mercy, and also in numbers. Thank you for everything you do for us. And Lord, we pray for every person that was mentioned today, every need. Some people have not spoken anything, but they have needs in their lives. We just ask that you minister to us the way that only you can. And when we have a question, an answer we don't understand, that we go to you in prayer and the study, and we receive your word and understanding for our time and our life may be difficult, and we pray that things will get better. But always we place our hands, our lives in your hands. Thank you that we can trust you, have faith in you. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, 323, Let Us Break Bread Together. Help us to reach out to one another within this congregation, but also reach out to those who are outside of any church, who don't know you as Lord and Savior, and help them find the peace that comes only through a relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for every gift that is used, every dollar that is given, everything that this congregation does, individually and corporately. Thank you, Lord, and bless them. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
Amen.
Carl is our reader today, and while he's coming forward, I just want to thank everyone for the Thanksgiving meal. It was a wonderful day with a little over 80 served. We always get a little worried about it, and is there going to be enough food? But there was plenty of food. Everyone had a good time, and people that aren't members of our church came down and helped, and I got so many people coming up to me just telling me what it means to them to have a place to go on Thanksgiving. So I wanted to make, they said, I promised them I would share that with you. And I don't remember every exact comment. So many people said it. So thank you. And if my math is right, and I don't know that it is, but this was our 25th year. 25 years. We started 1990. Does that make 25? Thank you.
Today's readings from Mark 13, 32, the day and hour unknown. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Thank you, Carl. I think it's hard for us as humans to understand Jesus' delay in his coming. I've heard ever since I was a child, he's coming back any day, and all the signs are pointing to it. But God's clock is certainly out of sync with our clock and our timing. Little Jimmy learned this lesson one day as he was laying on a hill in a meadow on a spring warm day. Puffy white clouds rolled by as he pondered the shape of the clouds, as many of us have done in youth and even as adults. Soon he began to think about God. He said, God, are you really there? He cried out in a loud voice. To his astonishment, a voice came out of the clouds and says, yes, Jimmy, what can I do for you? Seizing the opportunity, Jimmy asked, God, what is a million years like to you? Knowing that Jimmy could not understand the concept of infinity, God responded in the manner to which he thought Jimmy would be able to relate. A million years to me is like a minute. Oh, said Jimmy, well then, what $1 million like to you? $1 million to me, Jimmy, is like a penny. Wow, remarked Jimmy, getting a bright idea, and he said, you're so generous, God. Can I have one of your pennies? God replied, sure, Jimmy, just a minute. You know, you can't get one over on God. Little Jimmy wasn't ready for that response, and we're not often ready for the responses that we get from our Heavenly Father. Our text this morning seems an unlikely scripture for Advent. It has nothing to do with Mary and Joseph, the wise men, or the shepherds tending their flocks out in the fields. Instead, it's a story about a wealthy landowner going on a trip. The servants left behind were given the charge of his estate, and when the master returned, he would check on their stewardship, how they had handled his affairs. It's a story about being prepared, about being ready. In that sense, then, this is an Advent story, for this is a season of being prepared. Consider with me for a moment that Advent is about God identifying with the human situation. God came into our world in the form of flesh and blood and lived among us. Paul worded it this way in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Several years ago, when Princess Diana was killed in an automobile accident, you may recall that there was a backlash against the royal family. Reluctantly, the queen finally came on television to express her remorse, yet she so detested Diana during her life that her words really rang hollow to the people. It was the comments of the people in the streets that are so interesting. They said, "The royals don't know how we live, and furthermore, they don't care." Another said, "They have been isolated in their palace so long that they don't understand the common people." Yet another said, "The royals never can come among us. They're totally detached and preoccupied with their wealth." Friends, we cannot say those things about our heavenly King. God is not some detached royal who does not know us or care about us. He came to earth in the form of a person and really a peasant family. His Christmas wrapping was not one of tinsel and paper, but of human flesh. His very name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Because God lived among us, there's no feeling, no experience that you can encounter that God does not understand, whether it's joy or pain in any way. God understands. Jesus went through the loneliness of Gethsemane, the betrayal at the Mount of Olives, the weeping at the death of his friend Lazarus, the temptations in the wilderness, and also the joy at the wedding at Cana, and the pain of seeing his mother suffering as he hung upon the cross. Don't tell me that God himself does not understand. I don't care what you've encountered. God cares about you. God knows about it. And God desires for it to be better in your life. In the embrace of family and friends, God is there. In the suffering of children who are victims of violence, whether it be a war or in a home or sexual abuse, God is there. No night is so dark that God's light will not shine into that darkness. No place is so barren that new life cannot emerge. No person is so lost or weak that they cannot be saved. Advent is about getting ready for the return of Christ. Jesus put it this way, "What I say to you, I say to all, keep watch, keep watch. Be prepared for his return." In a word, we need to repent. It's a busy time of year. The choir, the singing, and the bells, and the music. Practicing, getting ready. Sanctuaries are being decorated with poinsettias and chrismon trees and candles. Pastors are busy preparing for special worship service. And it's a busy and it's an exciting time of year for all of us. And the activities and mood of the season make it difficult sometimes for the most necessary thing to occur at this time of the year. Repentance. Repentance seems so inappropriate at Christmas. After all, 'tis the season to be jolly. Talk of sin and judgment and repentance and turning away from our comfortable world of self-indulgence runs counter to everything that we hear and see on television and about the season. We want the season, we even need the season, to be upbeat. But the gospel message is clear. Without a sense of repentance, Advent can become just an acquiescence to sin. The prerequisite for us to receive the Christ child is the willingness to give up our violence, our hate, our turmoil, our selfishness, our adultery, our self-seeking, our self-serving, that only we matter. Unless we repent, we cannot truly accept God's good news of coming among us. Have you ever wondered why so few recognize the baby Jesus for who he was, the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one? Perhaps it's the same reason why so few recognize him today. In order to identify the child, we must first make a stop at the River Jordan and be baptized. We must repent of our sins. We must stop our ways and see the ways of God and do our best to follow God. God saw a world drowning in sin, in a world that was in need of a Savior. But how could the people be saved? What would make them turn their backs on the sins that they enjoy so much? At Advent, God looked down upon his dying people, dying from sin, from distraction, from pride, from arrogance and preoccupation. How under the circumstances could he send a substitute? He came himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So Advent is about repentance, and it is about salvation. Perhaps you've heard the fascinating story of Mary Craftsman. She was a Polish Jew during World War II who was rounded up among the thousands of others and put to work on the German war machine in forced labor. She was sent to the Volkswagen factory, which had been converted into making Tiger tanks. She was pregnant and soon gave birth to her baby boy. The child was immediately taken away from her and sent to the Volkswagen children's home. She never knew what happened to him, and she wasn't allowed to visit. We now know that those babies were fed sour milk and had lice and just lived in deplorable, horrible conditions. One night in desperation, she snuck out of the camp and hiked the 8 miles to the children's home. If she were caught, it would mean instant death for her. She found her child, and she hardly recognized him. He was just skin and bones wasting away. She kidnapped her own child and literally walked away from the home, never to go back again. And remarkably, she and her son were never caught. Of the 300 children who entered the Volkswagen children's home, only this one child survived because the mother was courageous enough to go rescue him. Over the years, the child Vladimir and his mother Maria have been interviewed many times to tell their incredible story, which was one of a rescue mission, a salvation mission for his very life. God is coming on a salvation mission, and the sun and the moon will be darkened and not give us light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. You will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will gather his elect, his chosen, from the four winds and from four ends of the earth. And we shall all survive. We shall all be saved, not just one. Christ is coming again. He promised. And while we wait for Christ now, we must work. We must watch. We must repent. And we must serve. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn, 274, verses 1 and 2.
receive communion. The children, that's up to the parents. And we will wait in each element. We will take it in unison together. Let us bow and word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for coming into our world, a world of darkness, a world of sin. We could not find salvation without you. We thank you for your love, your generosity. Everything that you do for us as individuals and family, as a church, a nation, even as a world. You're good to us. Remind us this day to be good to one another. And remind us that we need to repent of our sins. We may already have our salvation, but we still sin, Lord. And we ask for your forgiveness. Help clean us this day that we can come to the table and receive communion in a worthy manner. Not so much our worthiness, but your worthiness, your holy righteousness. Thank you for what you've done. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. On the day our Lord and Savior is betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." In reverence and unity, let us partake. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood which has been shed for remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Savior, and die for your sins, you shall be saved." Let us in reverence and unity remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus.
A hymn of response, a Nativity Prayer, 126.
The Son and the Holy Spirit.